check out your bulletins. Let's welcome Pastor Mark here today.
Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together and recite together the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Bob kicked off a series of messages talking about legacy. What is a legacy? A legacy is leaving something of great value to others. Then last week, I gave a message along the same lines about focusing on eternity. And if you missed those messages, you really go back online and take a listen to those messages, and especially if you can get past my jacket I had last week. I got worse ones than that. Anyway, seriously, if you miss it, you need to go listen to it, because these messages are very important for what we're doing as a congregation. This morning, now what we're all talking about is we're going to be doing a special offering on December 10th, calling it a legacy offering, where we're going to be raising as much money as we can so we can take it and turn around and give it all away to missions and ministries and outreaches all over the world. Now, having said that, if you ever want to give something for a specific cause and even specific purpose anywhere in the church, all you have to do is mark it accordingly, and we always honor that. So, you know, for example, you want to give $10,000 for the pastor's vacation fund, you know, feel free. Or anything in the church, a department or anything like that. And this a legacy offering is kicking off a whole series of what we want to talk about throughout the next year, a whole legacy track that we're going to be using in our giving to advance the kingdom of God. So, Pastor Bob did the first message, I did the second, and today we're tag teaming. So he's going to do the first half. Would you please welcome Pastor Robert Gustafson?
Well, good morning. Good to be with you guys. I am excited to talk about this idea of legacy. Pastor Mark asked me to share just a few thoughts with you here this morning. And I'm excited about it because we've got such a big vision at Celebration Church in our various cities where we gather here in Green Bay and in Appleton and Stevens Point. We've got a big vision to make a big impact in our communities, but also in our nation and really around the globe. And that's the idea of what legacy is all about. It's about leaving something that lasts beyond yourself and really something that lasts on into eternity. And we simply here at Celebration Church, we've decided we just want to grow at the pace of your generosity. In Romans chapter 12, there's this section of scripture where the Bible gives this analogy about the church being kind of like a physical body. And the body is made up of all these different parts, these different members, and there's eyes and ears and toes and nose, and some of us are spleens. There's all these different parts of the body, and the Bible says that the church body is just like that, that we have different members, and that these different members have different gifts according to the grace that God has given. And in Romans chapter 12, it talks about some people have the gift of mercy. And it says, if you have the gift of mercy, then show mercy. If you've got the gift of prophesying, then prophesy. All these different gifts. If you've got the gift of serving, then serve. And one of the gifts that the Bible identifies in Romans chapter 12 is the gift of giving. And some people, they just have the gift of giving. They know they have the ability to give generously. They want to be able to give strategically. They have more than what they need to live on. And these people really understand that God's plan to change the world is the local church. And we're actually in the process right now of forming a team that we're calling the Legacy Team. There's lots of teams at Celebration Church. We've got ushers and greeters and people that help out with kids and all kinds of different things, different teams. And we're forming right now what we're calling a Legacy Team. And maybe you would say, you know what? I've got that gift of giving. I know that I do. And I want to fund the kingdom of God. And we would invite you to maybe consider joining up with that Legacy Team. We'll have a vision meeting about that. We're having three different meetings. We've got one in Green Bay on December 4th. That'll be at 6:30. We'll keep these meetings to an hour. Green Bay, December 4th. Appleton on December 5th. And then Stevens Point on December 7th, where we just want to share a little bit about the vision that we have at Celebration Church. We've got resourcing here, and we'll be faithful with the resourcing that's here, but we've got vision that goes well beyond it, and we want to be able to share opportunities that are out in front of us that God is providing. And this morning, I just want to share real quickly, and I'll hand it back to Pastor Mark. I want to share briefly what we're calling our five legacy lanes. Basically, five different areas that we focus on here at Celebration Church. And if you're visiting here at one of our campuses for the first time, hopefully this is even helpful for you, because this is really how we orient and how we structure how we do ministry here at Celebration Church. And the first legacy lane that we identify, number one, is our church. So we've got a great vision here at Celebration Church, and so much is taking place since its beginning. You just look around at all the different things that are taking place at Celebration Church. And right now, already in 2017, we've baptized over 100 people throughout all of our campuses. These are people that have made a decision to say, I'm following Jesus Christ. We'll have a baptism service actually in December during the season of Advent. Maybe if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, you'd want to participate in that baptism service. People that have said, I am following Jesus, and are being baptized publicly to demonstrate that. It's incredible. We've got so many amazing volunteers at the church. There's over 500 people that make the world go around. People that have said, I'm going to use what God's given me to make a difference in the world. I even heard about, we've got a group of guys, once a month we do a men's and women's breakfast here at the church. Killer breakfast, eggs, cheesy potatoes, bacon, I mean, best bacon on the planet, I promise you. And these guys, they get together and they volunteer and cook this breakfast. I heard from that there was a lady that loved the breakfast so much and the childcare that's provided. She invited a friend to come with her just because of how good the breakfast is, and that lady had a real encounter with God that morning. That happened because people gave and they serve. And so many people in so many different spaces at Celebration Church do all those things. And I promise you, we've got vision that is greater than the current things that are taking place at the church. And we want to continue to accelerate that vision. One of the greatest things that we could do to increase ministry at Celebration Church is to one day be a debt-free church, where we're not spending money on principal and interest, but rather we are investing those dollars into ministry and making a difference. So the Celebration Church lane of legacy is about accelerating that vision of one day being a debt-free church. That's our first lane. The second lane is what we call Transition One. And we have a real unique vision at Celebration Church about pouring into the next generation of godly leaders that are going to go out and make a difference in eternity. And this year, we've seen Transition One double in its attendance from the year prior. We've got 11 awesome students right now that are doing 6 months at Celebration Church, where they're getting the foundations of their faith underneath them, and they're going to be activated and sent out on a missions trip for 3 months that'll forever change their life. And these students come back to our communities, and they've got a missionary mindset in our cities where they're going to make a difference for the kingdom of God, and it's incredible. We've had one of our students, actually, that we've hired full-time to be a pastor at our campus in Appleton. It's really phenomenal what's taking place. So the second area of legacy that we focus on is Transition One. And then we've got what we call kind of that mission field that we see in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says this. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the call of the church. It's to our cities where we have our campuses. It's to our nation and then ultimately the world. And the next area of legacy, the lane that we focus on, is local missions. This is right here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's in the Fox Valley, and it's in central Wisconsin, where we have our campuses. And before we jump on an airplane and go to the other side of the world, we've got a responsibility right here in our own backyard. And it's pretty exciting. Actually, we just finished up this project that we call Celebration Packs. We do a couple projects like this a year, and we were able to feed 190 families this year, this Thursday on Thanksgiving, because you guys gave towards Celebration Packs. 200 kids got back to school supplies earlier in the year. This is just one of the little ways we want to give back into our cities. And we're in the process right now of exploring even greater partnerships with local ministries right here in our own backyard, in Green Bay and in Appleton and Stevens Point, areas like Freedom House. And in Stevens Point, there's an organization called Transact Hope. At our Appleton campus, we've got about a dozen boys every Sunday that come from Rawhide Boys Ranch and attend church on Sunday in Appleton. If you're there, good to see you this morning in Appleton. It's really phenomenal what God is doing, and we want to do even more to help out right here in our own backyard. We've got a lot of vision, and we'll just be faithful at the pace of your participation and your generosity. And then our next area of focus is our nation, the United States of America. And one of the few ways we do that, we have a missionary partner with Jimmy Bratcher. He preaches here from time to time. He's got an incredible story. He's got a great gift of being a wonderful musician, and he goes into places like prisons and Sturgis bike rallies where we're able to present the gospel in a clear way through the gift of music and walk around and talk to people about Jesus. That's one of the ways we do it. Another way that we do it, this is brand new this year. Not a lot of people know this, but we, this year, formed a partnership with what's called the Association of Related Churches, otherwise known as ARC. This is a church planting organization, and we've partnered with them this year, and we want to continue to expand that partnership because this fall alone, they started 80 churches right here in America. It's phenomenal what they're doing, and God's plan to change the world is through the local church, and we were able to come alongside of other churches and help support and fund those churches that have been planted throughout the United States. And then lastly is international missions, and this is an area where we just have a tremendous return on investment. There's areas of the world that are just so hungry for the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're doing incredible things around the world with international missions, and that's our fifth lane of legacy. There are thousands upon thousands of people that have come to know Jesus because of what we do with international missions. Every year, there's 600 orphans that are cared for throughout the network of what we do in Myanmar. We're doing incredible things in the Andaman Islands and building fresh water wells so people have health and that communities are transformed. And we've got a vision that just goes on and on and on in the area of international missions. This Christmas, because of what you'll do through this legacy giving, we will have the gospel presented in Christmas outreaches that'll go to 8,000 plus people in Myanmar and the Andaman Islands, people hearing about Jesus. So we want you to know that you're leaving a legacy, and it's incredible what you're doing. And when we come together here at Celebration Church, we can do a lot to make a difference. So this morning, Pastor Mark, he'll close out our time together, but thank you for what you're doing. And if you want to join with us, come to that meeting and hear a little bit more about the vision of those legacy teams.
Thank you, Bob. It is often said you can't take it with you, that no one has ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You've heard that, right? You can't take it with you. Well, I want you to know something this morning. They're wrong. You can take it with you. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Last week, we read this parable. I want to read it again in Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Things were going so well. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, self, you have plenty of grain laid up for your many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And Jesus says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Now, I want you to understand, he is not condemning people who have things, but people who have things and then don't use those things to enrich their standard and their position in heaven. Because believe it or not, you can take it with you. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin, I hate vermin, destroy. Actually, I even hate chipmunks. Stupid little chipmunks digging holes everywhere in my yard. Anyway, stay focused, Mark. Where the moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Don't do that. Store up instead for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You, see, the thing people don't understand, you will literally affect the life that you are about to receive with what you do in this life. And very few people ever grasp that. A lot of people just think, you know, I want to come to church. I just want to go to hell. That's their main goal, right? Which, a laudable goal. I don't want to go to hell either. A lot of people come to church. It's more like, you know, fire insurance. Come in and pay their premium and get out, you know. But it's supposed to be way more than that. We're supposed to be engaged in actively building the kingdom of God and making a difference in life, this life, and laying up treasures in the life to come. Now, Jesus gave this parable in Luke, the 16th chapter. He told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. And as you can well imagine, that would tick him off. I mean, if you had a lot of possessions and you had a guy in charge of it, he's wasting what you got, you're going to get ticked. So he called the guy in and said, what is this I hear about you? Now give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. He's getting tossed to the curb. He's losing his job. I want a full accounting. Where is everything? Where do we stand? Well, the manager said to himself, oh man, what am I going to do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. And there weren't a whole lot of options in life back then. His only other option was to dig. And he said, I'm too ashamed to beg. So he's freaking out. What am I going to do? And then he comes up with this plan. He says, I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. And he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? The guy says, 900 gallons of olive oil. And the manager said, take your bill, sit down quickly, make it 450. Well, that's cool for that guy. And then he asked a second, how much do you owe? He said, I owe 1,000 bushels of wheat. And he said, well, take your bill and make it 800. So he goes through and he does this with all the people that owe the master money. Remember, he's in charge of handling all these accounts. He basically goes in these accounts and restructures the accounts that benefits everybody else dramatically. His plan is to so enrich and favor these others that when he comes along, they're going to say, dude, come on in. Good to see you. Have a seat at the table. He is making friends. These people are going to love this guy because he is dramatically improving their lives. Now, you would think the master would be seriously hacked. But Jesus said he wasn't. In fact, he says the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. He said, you know, that was a good move. That was pretty sharp, you know. See, the guy had the right to do it because he was the manager. He was the one who controlled the funds. And if the manager was really smart, he would have immediately canned the guy and brought in someone else, taking away the authority for him to renegotiate. But he didn't. He left it with him. And the guy took this advantage of being able to renegotiate everything and made life better for himself at the cost of his boss. And the boss was impressed. That dirty rat. That was cool. He acted very shrewdly. That's impressive. And then Jesus said, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. In other words, the people in this world system are much better at understanding how to use money to comfort their lives and advance their cause than the people of light. People of faith apparently are dumb as bricks. And they don't get it. They don't get that with the money you have, you are the manager of what you control. Remember, last week I said, don't act like an owner. Don't walk along life thinking, well, that's my stuff, and this is my paycheck, and this is my house, and my... Don't think in those terms. You need to realize we are just stewards. We are managers of what God has blessed us with. We manage what he has. It doesn't belong to us. It all belongs to him. All right? It's like a teenager, you know. It says, I don't want you coming into my room. Cupcake, you don't have a room. All right? That's my room. I pay for that room. And soon you will be leaving it. Praise the Lord. All right? But see, the teenager falls into the delusion that that's his or hers. They think they own that stuff. Ha ha! You don't own Jack. All right? Now, someday you will leave and then you can own whatever you want. But in the meanwhile, you're just borrowing this space. Well, it's the same with us. We walk around thinking, this is my stuff. You think that's true? That's not your stuff. It's my check. It's my money, my retirement. I'm like, no, it's not. God has made you a steward of all that stuff because everything belongs to him. And we need to think in terms of being a steward. This steward was smart enough, Jesus said, as people in the world are, to realize that what he could control things so that his end would be greatly benefited. And Jesus actually forewarns, he says, it's too bad people of faith don't get this. We actually can take what we have control of and benefit and enrich our place in eternity. Jesus called it laying up treasures in heaven. Said of the first guy, you fool, you got all this stuff, but you did nothing to prepare for eternity. Why? Because you can't take it with you. But you do it intentionally. Jesus said this. He says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal blessings. Again, I think the vast majority of Christians do not get this at all. You want to use the wealth that you have and invest enough into the kingdom of God that you are actually benefiting your state when you get there. And you want to affect people's lives so that when you get there, they're welcoming you in. There he is! Woohoo! There's going to be little chubby-faced orphans. Praise God. They're going to be up in heaven. You've never met them, but you have helped them. You have fed them. You have clothed them. You have invested in their life. And when you get up there, they're going to be saying, there he is! This is the guy! You're going to go, what? Because you've invested into eternity. Jesus says, think it through, guys. We all are going to die. Not today. But we're all going to die. Oh, maybe today. I don't know what's going to happen to anybody. It's a foolish thing to ignore the inevitable. I mean, if you know you're going to take a test next Friday, and you don't study all week long, you are a dope. Now, when they spring instant quick quizzes on you, well, there's nothing you can do about that, right? Oh, I didn't know what's coming. Oh, you know. But when they're saying, this is the test, it's going to be this Friday, you need to prepare the test, this is what we're going to study, they put everything out there, and you don't do anything about it. You are a Nimrod. All right? You got to pay attention. We know this in life. We have certain deadlines every day, every year, called tax day. The smart person prepares. And then there's people who actually, every tax day, are shocked that it got there. It's like, really? You didn't know this is coming? This is coming. By the way, it's coming. Get ready. You can do something. You can actually take some of the wealth you have with you into eternity by giving it away, by investing into the kingdom of God. And I mean in the kingdom. Don't just walk down the street and throw money in the air. That's not going to help you any. But investing it in the kingdom of God, finding ways that you can actually affect eternity so that when you get there, you're not getting there totally broke with nothing in your pockets. Well, I don't think we can take it with us. Oh, yeah, you can. Now, you can't take individual objects with you, you know. Fluffy will have to stay here. Now, as many of you know, my wife, Debbie, got sent home this week from the hospital, and they've ceased all cancer treatments for her, and now she is on hospice care, and me, which is horrifying for anyone. To think I'll be taking care of you. But anyway, poor girl. But for a miracle, this is her final journey. They don't know how long, knowing her stubborn demeanor, she may outlive us all yet. But according to the doctors, her time is limited. And it's sad. And there's moments of tears and mourning and just dealing with. I mean, that's a hard thing to deal with. And certainly coming a whole lot sooner than any of us would have thought, certainly quicker than I had thought. But as I was thinking about her, I thought, you know, this lady has got some serious bank accounts on the other side. Since she was 16 years old, that's when we gave our lives to Jesus. She was 16 years old. She has sacrificed. She has given. She has worked. She has shared. She has prayed with people. Since the time she was 16 years old, every dollar she has ever earned, she gave one dime to God. It's called tithing. A lot of people debate, well, do we really have to do that? Look, what you have to do or you don't have to do is up to you, but this is called smart investing. That's the nice thing about tithing. It may not be a lot of money at any given time, but over a lifetime, 10% of every dollar she has touched over her lifetime has gone into the kingdom of God and beyond. Then she gives beyond that. This is someone who has invested in eternity. And when she slips into the arms of Jesus, there are going to be people up there she's never even met. They're going to go, there she is. That's that lady that made it possible. There she is, man. They're going to be partying and celebrating. Say, where's your stupid husband? I left him. We can affect our eternity with what we do here. Don't think that you can't. A lot of people actually think that they can't. I'm just going to give my heart to Jesus and I'll go to heaven. There's nothing I can really do. And beyond that, oh, yes, there is. You can take it with you. Be smart. Be intentional. Be a consistent giver. And on December 10th, we are going to do this special legacy offering. And we want to raise as much money as we can on December 10th. We're asking you to think about it in advance. Come prepared to give. Now, this is above and beyond your regular giving. Don't take your regular giving and say, well, there you go. You need to do your regular giving. This is above and beyond your regular giving. I want you to be intentional about it. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. And I want you to plan for it. Act like a steward, not an owner. View everything through the lens of eternity. And the truth is, we don't want you to put anybody in jeopardy or hurt your family in any way in this giving. But if what you give doesn't hurt a little bit, you aren't doing this right. If whatever you give is comfortable and it doesn't make a big difference, you're not doing this right. We are calling out to you. We are challenging you as fellow workers in Christ, focusing on and thinking about eternity, to come, and it should sting just a little. Ow. Ouch. Not kill you. Nobody wants to kill you. But I want to challenge you. Let's do something significant to advance the cause of eternity. You can take it with you. Don't leave it all here. Don't take everything that you have and just consume it into this life, not thinking about the next life. Don't make that mistake. It's a big mistake. A lot of people are making this mistake. Always remember, there's something bigger than me. There's something more important than me. And I need to learn to give and to be faithful with what God puts in my hands as his steward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth, and we thank you for the challenge of this project that we're doing this holiday season, that we can do something really significant to advance the cause of Christ, to help people that are hungry, to clothe the naked, to comfort the hurting, Lord, to establish things, to let the good news of Christ go wherever we can have an influence in. And help us, oh God, to always remember we need to be thinking about eternity. It'll come here really fast, and it's going to last a long time. As we talked about last week, Lord, help us to focus on the line of eternity, not on the dot of this existence. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen.